Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Monday and welcome to the Franchise Focus Podcast. Thanks for stopping by with us for another edition on our series focusing on the next gen in franchising competition, the bridge between millennials and the franchising space. Great stuff. Obviously, we are just a few days away from the October 30th deadline for the Next Gen in Franchising competition. If you are like many of our guests we've had on in recent weeks and have a big idea, are a young entrepreneur trying to get into franchising, trying to be a part of this space, and want to enter that competition, please do so on our page and on the on the website and the webpage that has this podcast that you're listening to. There is a link to the contest submission form, so please jump in while you still have a chance, a few days left. But we have a great show for you today, the third in our series devoted to Next Gen Franchising and Millennials in Franchising. Of course, if you want to shoot us any questions, reach us on Twitter at EducatedZ. That's Educated Z-E-E. Definitely take a peek at Jennifer Cashel and Rick Bizio's LinkedIn pages as they've both posted published posts recently on this topic, syndicated with the IFA's Franchise Opportunities blog to share information, share insights, and share a lot of fun stuff related to this competition and what it's accomplishing for millennials in franchising. I've got a great, great, great show today. We have Alexander Alzel joining us, one of the Next Gen winners, Next Gen champions last year in 2014. Jennifer Cashel is with us again. We love to have her with us. She's so much brings so much energy and passion to the show, which is fantastic. But Alex, Jen, welcome to the Franchise Focus. Thank you so much for joining me.
Great to be here again. How's my favorite Italian?
Awesome. Alex, great to have you too. Are you still with us?
Yeah, sure. Great to be here as well.
Oh, fantastic. So, yeah, man, so tell us a little bit about yourself. You certainly have a unique story, certainly a unique background as it relates to the next-gen competition and franchising, being a young go-getter as you are. If you don't mind, sort of give us a little bit about your background, your story, and, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Alex?
Oh, okay. I'm Alex. I'm originally from Italy. I just graduated from law school a couple of weeks ago in the UK, and I found out about Next Gen competition about this time last year. And honestly, at that point, all I associated with it were the bigger fast food chains, so McDonald's, KFC, and Burger King. And I had no idea what it's all about. I applied with a business concept, a social enterprise concept called Spanarium. And in the end, I was invited to the IFA convention in Las Vegas, where I also got the opportunity to present my concept. And can you still hear me?
Yes, perfectly.
And I just came back about 2 weeks ago from a 3.5-week franchising trip in the U.S. So that's the shortest introduction I can possibly think of.
Yeah, we worked with Alex. Alex was trying to figure out what he wanted to do with his life after he graduated college. And he had been one of our big winners of the franchise competition. But, learned so much about the idea he presented and said, maybe I'm just not ready for it because there's so much more involved in franchising than I ever realized. So we worked with Alex to put together a tour of franchise companies in the U.S., and he literally got on a plane from Italy right after graduating law school and started visiting some of the biggest leaders in the franchise industry over a 2-3-week period and had this incredible adventure in the U.S.
Yeah,
that is amazing. So, Alex, who did you meet with, and tell us a few things you learned on your adventure there.
Ooh, basically, before we start with this, I have to say I met so many amazing people. So, my short introduction here wouldn't do justice to all the experiences I've I've made during those 3.5 weeks in U.S. But just to quickly summarize my tour, I started off with visiting Subway International Headquarters. I went to Dunkin' Donuts. I went to a three-day conference in Philadelphia on emerging franchises, so Springboard Conference. Then the following week, I met, I basically got to know the Dwyer Group in Waco, Texas. And Mary Kay and Mark Listed actually host me for about 2 days there. After that, so after my 2 days in Waco, I went back to Houston, where I met Paul Segreto, had an amazing lunch with him, and basically a great talk about my future options as well. And so right after that, I went to see Jennifer in LA for another, was it 4 days?
Yes.
It was 4 days, right? And then then I came back again to Washington D.C. on Monday for the big IFA event there, and that also marked the end of my tour.
Gotcha. Well, I wish I'd known you were here. I was I am in the D.C. area myself, and was at that conference that you attended as well, the Franchise Action Network conference. Did you have a good time there? Did you enjoy storming Capitol Hill with your franchising friends?
Yes, absolutely. All the time I was comparing it back to what it could have looked like, say, in Italy or Germany, and I was so impressed how meticulously the whole event has been planned, but also by the reaction and preparation we got from congressmen and their staff. So really impressive, I have to say. Extremely impressive.
No, that's an amazing show. There's obviously some very pressing and important decisions, topics, trends on the table in the political sphere with the minimum wage hike and the joint employer, all that type of stuff. So there's a lot of stuff that we need to be fighting for. And I think that,
absolutely.
I mean, and the contingents that I met with, you know, Republicans, Democrats alike, I mean, we had some very good conversations and a lot of people open to our small business message. So great stuff for sure. Jen, I think I cut you off there. Didn't want to do that.
No worries. I just want to say we were really excited that we were able to coordinate Alex's trip with all that activity that was happening in D.C. around the franchise industry, because it was a critical week where so many big policy decisions were being made and meetings were happening with key government officials. And to have one of our Next Gen winners in the mix there was so important for so many reasons, because one of the biggest, you know, policy initiatives for IFA now is how do they reach the next generation? And Alex, not only being a winner, but also coming from Italy, it was such a beautiful example of here's a young person who represents the future of this industry, regardless of whether he works in the industry or starts a company himself. But to be a part of that and to have NextGen part of that, you know, that conversation, I think was, you know, really meant the world to us. And I know for Alex, it was such an opportunity of a lifetime to be from a different country, let alone a freshly graduated student, and be able to see the inner workings of how the U.S. government works and how it interacts with business.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't have summarized it better myself.
We talked about, you know, opportunities in franchising, and Graham, that's one of the things that we've been kind of looking at tangentially too, how many opportunities really exist in the franchise world. A lot of young people know franchising mostly as fast food and minimum wage, you know, opportunities, but the reality is upward mobility is greater in franchising than almost any other industry. So, you know, we've talked a lot in the Next Gen campaign about the opportunity to work, to buy, or to build. You know, you can work for a franchise, you can build, you can buy one yourself and become a franchisee, or you can build a franchise chain. And that was kind of one of the things we really wanted Alex to experience, all sides of that. And we want to really get that message out to other young people, too, that there is an unlimited range of opportunity available in franchising that can take you as high as you possibly want to go.
Absolutely true. I guess, Alex, on that topic, you know, I saw you featured as one of the six hot shots that are aiming to change the world, obviously, partially at least, through franchising. And you're sort of listed there showcasing your new idea for reviving expired bread. Can you, you know, take us through that idea and how you stumbled upon such a brilliant, you know, concept that you'd like to hopefully one day make a reality?
Absolutely. So back in college, back in law school, I got introduced to the idea of social enterprises. And back then, I started looking at social problems around me. And I was like really focused on the problem and not so much on coming up with a revenue-generating model at first. And I just couldn't believe that many, many bakeries in Europe discard about 25% of the bread they bake every single day. And that's a tremendous amount of bread. And given, the current social tensions and also wars we have in this world, it's just not acceptable to have to produce so much food waste on a daily basis. And unlike other foods, other food items, bread can still be consumed the day after it has been baked, or even 2 or 3 days after. So what I did was I came up with a couple of prototypes over the summer, and I figured out that especially in village settings where you have 1, 2, 3 bakers who all have essentially the same problem, it would work out if possibly a franchisee would be able to pick up the leftovers in the evening and turn the bread into bread snacks, which can then be sold on to local restaurants and bars in the area. As I said, over the summer, I've come up. I've tried this many, many times, and it did work. And I came up with tasty snacks as well. However, through NextGen, I also became aware of all the depressing challenges that that really, really come with putting this idea in practice. So one of the biggest challenges is obviously regulation, because every single food item which is sold in European Union and also in the U.S., I'm sure, needs to have an expiry date. And because that expiry date is so fixed, it's difficult to extend it and then turn the product into something else. However, this challenge could be transformed into an opportunity by essentially helping small bakers to come up with all the necessary regulations currently regulatory bodies are forcing them to produce, and they just don't have the means to do so cheaply, to basically help them with that, so that afterwards a franchisee can come in and essentially turn a product which would otherwise be thrown away into delicious snack. The second challenge is one of the ideal locations I could have imagined for this concept, which would be Italy, is not that business friendly at the moment. So it takes about 7 months to set up a company, which poses quite a few challenges to actually going through with the idea.
Gotcha. Jen, tell us sort of your perspective and the NextGen committee or organization's perspective on what Alex brought to your attention last year. When he brought you this concept of reviving expired bread and sort of his submission last year, what made him stand out to you guys?
Well, I mean, first of all, his presentation was outstanding. He had really thought through this idea. It was clever. It was creative. It was different. And at NextGen, we're really looking at how young people are looking at the franchise model differently, how they're looking at applying it, not only in different ways for business, for social impact, but also internationally. And some of the most interesting ideas do come from different parts of the world, and often from people who aren't very familiar with the franchise model. And so it's been really exciting to work with, you know, the IFA Educational Foundation, specifically John Reynolds and David McKinnon
yep.
and Tony Valley, and all, you know, and Doc Cohen, who made this largely possible, to really investigate what do young people know about franchising? Where are their interests? How can we create a bridge between, as Melanie Bergeron has said, how do we create a bridge between the next generation and the franchise industry and bring them in? And so we've been successful, I think, at bringing some great young entrepreneurs who have great concepts. Now this year, we're very, very focused on people who have actual businesses who just need the help scaling and growing and that context to get to the next stage. But we're also looking educationally and from an advocacy perspective, you know, what are the ideas and the questions that young people have? And like Alex, you know, we do have to debunk this myth that franchising is about fast food.
Yep.
I had the opportunity to talk to Aziz Hashem the other day, who's the incoming chair of IFA, and his whole entire focus is changing the narrative about franchising. And I think as that happens, and as we start to explain to the rest of the world outside of the industry what franchising really means, I think we're going to see droves of young people coming into it with all sorts of new ideas. And franchising is going to look possibly much different than it does today. And that's a beautiful thing because it means it'll be better situated to absorb a new generation and really innovate and be a network and an industry of change moving forward.
Absolutely. No, there's no doubt. Alex, I mean, getting back to that and showcasing why you jumped into the fold and been so committed to this idea and committed to learning more about franchising and becoming more of a fixture in the space. You know, after this big trip you've taken and this social enterprise model you've developed, I guess sort of what's your next step? How do you intend to use the lessons you learned and the people you've met over the past year and a half? How are you going to use that to your advantage to take your social enterprise concept to the next level?
So basically realizing how many challenges, but also opportunities are associated with a social enterprise model, and especially Panarium, I realized I really need to gain much more experience in the franchising world. And I plan to do so, or I plan to start doing so as soon as possible. So while in law school, before I got exposed to NextGen and this amazing program, I basically immediately considered the typical careers a law school graduate would consider, but now I'm basically quite impressed by the franchising model, and that's also where I see my future at the moment.
Yeah, Alex has actually been talking to a lot of people. I mean, you can share what you wish, but there are some wonderful people in the franchise industry, like Jerry Darnell and Stan Freeman and Mark and Mary Kay Mittliston, who have been really aggressively looking, meeting with Alex, talking to him, mentoring him, and also trying to help him find opportunities in the franchise industry. And it's been exciting to see the franchise companies just jump at the opportunity to get to work with a young person really aggressive and passionate about franchising and learning. And so I think that speaks to another larger issue about the industry as a whole is looking for young talent. And I know they need sales talent, franchise sales talent who are younger. I know they need a lot of, you know, global development people who are younger. So this is really not just an education initiative, but it's a critical HR initiative as well, tangentially.
No doubt about it. It's we've certainly talked about it at great length, that there's a big need for getting more youthful people into the space, from a franchise sales perspective and buying franchises, but also, as you mentioned, as employees for, the larger brands themselves to help bolster what they can do from a sales side and making their brands more youthful and energetic. But we've talked also clearly about the, I guess, misperceptions of franchising just being about fast food or just being about restaurants or being big business, particularly in the U.S. But Alex, I'm interested to know, you know, I guess what the perception of franchising and franchises is in Europe. You know, I guess what are the differences between how Americans view franchising and how Europeans view franchising? Is there a big difference?
I think there is, and even in Europe, the views are highly fragmented because it's it depends a lot on the country you are in and how economically developed it is. So I mean, speaking of Italy, for instance, franchising is still not that common, or like not as common as it possibly could be, even though there are many, many challenges franchising would be the ideal position to actually solve. So I guess the perception of franchising is different, mainly because it's not so much in the common sphere yet. So people don't really know what it's all about. And what they mostly associate it with is are basically the bigger fast food chains. So that's what most people think franchising is all about, even though we all know it's not true at all.
Sure.
And
is that something,
Graham,
you want to... go ahead, Jen.
Oh, sorry. No, you were saying, you know, that you were talking about all the legal, you know, the work that's happening and the political conversations happening in Washington. And that's really the core of what's happening in Washington as well. The reason that a lot of these challenges are happening with the regulatory environment in franchising is because simply the people building the regulations don't understand that the franchise business model is about entrepreneurship. It's about enabling entrepreneurs to grow and scale companies. So it, what Alex is experiencing and what young people around the world and just people in general don't know about franchising is the same thing that's ailing us with the regulatory situation.
Yeah, exactly. And that's also keeping back a lot of companies in Europe at the moment who could step in and actually solve social problems. I'm thinking, for instance, of home care. I've met quite a few representatives at events in the U.S. who have their own nursing or home care company there. That's just not as common, or even not possible in Italy and many other European countries yet, even though the franchising model and basically then helping local entrepreneurs to take it to the next level would solve so many social issues that are currently extremely pressing.
Yeah. Social franchising is gonna change everything, really. I think the franchise business model might emerge as one of the biggest heroes in this new kind of awareness that people have about what the big global challenges are and how individuals and organizations can tackle them. I know at the UN, they've just ratified the strategic development goals with all the countries at the General Assembly saying there are certain things we have to address in the world right now. They're big, big problems, but we all have to get on the same page about addressing them. And one of the great things is that franchising actually is a phenomenal model, not just for entrepreneurs, but also for social impact drivers who are looking for models to grow and scale their programs.
No doubt. Jen, tell us a little bit more. I mean, this is one of many examples of, you know, folks who are involved with the Next Gen Initiative or who have submitted their ideas to the Next Gen competition of social enterprise or social franchising examples of folks who are looking to solve big problems or just, you know, repetitive problems through the franchise model. So could you take us through a couple more examples of how a sort of social enterprise or social franchising is sort of taking over and been such a big component of NextGen?
Well, I'll give you our best example ever, which was the cover story on Franchise Times. Jibu Water was started by an entrepreneur in Kampala, Uganda, and Galen Welch, who was a Peace Corps volunteer from America, and they looked at the water problem in Africa, which is tremendous. I mean, women walk miles a day to get fresh drinking water for their families. with buckets of water on their head and infants wrapped in their, you know, swaddled to their chest. And so this is a huge problem in Africa. And Galen and his partner figured out a way to take a water filtration system and a specialized process and use the franchise model to empower local entrepreneurs to roll out this program around Uganda, which was very, very powerful. Well, not only were we able to, when Franchise Times then did the cover story, which completely shook up this conversation in franchising about how it could be used, we brought that cover to the UN, talked about it at the NGO conference, and all these now nonprofit leaders now are going crazy saying, how do we do this? How do we get involved? Tangentially, I just got back from the SOCAP conference, which was the Social Capital Conference, all about social entrepreneurs and the biggest financiers in the world that are diverting billions of dollars of capital to social impact. And so that conversation, which is fascinating, was spearheaded by people at the White House and also USAID, which is an extraordinary organization which funds global development projects. And they, one of the first, you know, companies that they put up on the screen to show the kind of work that they were doing was actually Jibu. So there's a tremendous opportunity to connect the dots here. There's a lot of activity happening all around the world where we can pull all these pieces together to do great social change, do tremendous economic development, create tons of jobs, and tie franchising in as a prime vehicle to facilitate this.
Yeah, no, that is inspirational stuff, no doubt. And I think that also speaks to another point about this competition, is that it's absolutely extremely international in scope. I mean, a lot of your entries and submissions for the contest are coming from, you know, folks who are international as opposed to just, you know, domestic in the States. I mean, if Alexander isn't an example enough, the Jibu Water example you just gave certainly is too. And there are many, many applications from folks across the world. So people who are listening in outside of the country should absolutely be inspired to join in with the Next Gen competition.
But also even in the U.S. I think, you know, we actually have more applicants coming from overseas than we even do in the U.S. And that's kind of shocking.
Yeah, it is.
I think it would be the opposite. But I think the creativity level is higher internationally because the hunger is higher. In the U.S., we have so many resources and so much infrastructure and so many services and products that I think sometimes we get a little complacent when it comes to innovation. We don't push ourselves as much to see how we can do more with what we have, how we can push push the limits. And so I think we need a lot more people in the U.S. with different ideas about how food should be delivered, how hospitality should be delivered, how services should be delivered, how social impact can be created through franchising. That's what we really want. We have a few days left in this competition, and there's still plenty of room for amazing new ideas to come in and new entrepreneurs. But I really implore everyone in the U.S., I mean, any young people that you have in your life who are involved in franchising or interested in franchising, talk to them about the new models. Talk to them about the new opportunities, not just what exists, but what could be. And what exists is actually a tremendous amount of jobs and opportunities right now. Clearly, there's a new franchise concept emerging every single day. So 350-some-odd new franchise concepts a year, which is extraordinary. That's, if anyone's looking for jobs, if anyone's looking for opportunities, if anyone wants to open a franchise, this is such an incredibly robust industry to be a part of.
There's no doubt about it. Alexander, if you had any advice for any folks who do have ideas like Jen's speaking of and are interested in getting their application in here in the next few days, do you have any advice for those folks to help put themselves in a position to be among one of the 2015 winners?
So basically, the rules of the competition have been slightly changed for this year. So this year, one actually needs to have a business in place. However, regarding the actual application documents, I would say really let your personality shine through, and also your creativity. For instance, I made a 2-minute video outlining my concepts. Basically, I made a creative presentation with hand drawing and then captured the screen and turned it into a 2-minute video. And I remember I could have sent it off basically immediately after I finished. However, checking it all over and over again, I still found tiny mistakes, which in the end, I think made all the difference. So if you have the time, spend it wisely and make sure that your application documents are perfect, I would say. And let your personality and creativity shine through.
Got it. As far as this year's competition or the initiative and the presence at the show or the IFA show and annual convention in February, I guess what role will you play? Will you be acting as an advisor? Will you be a part of everything that goes on between now and the show next year? How will you sort of play a role with NextGen at the end of this year and into next year?
We're still working on how to integrate everyone. Alex has been a huge resource to us in kind of helping us go with the program and grow it scalably. We haven't locked down exactly how the winners from last year are working on this next convention, but even Jennifer Bell, who's one of our winners, she's actually on the IFA convention committee now.
Nice.
And different members of our audience, our group, our winner group, are playing different roles. Alex has just played a massive role by doing this tour. He's been one of our best brand ambassadors now for NextGen.
Mm-hmm. That tour sounds amazing. Well, that's a really, really good idea. I'm sure he learned a lot from that, Alex, and I'm sure that the connections you made will last for years to come.
Yeah. Hopefully, they've really been amazing, and any summary in the show wouldn't do justice to the amazing experiences I've and the amazing conversations I've had over those 3.5 weeks in the US.
I got it. So we are sadly running up against our timeline and running out of time here. Before I cut you both loose, is there anything that I'm missing or anything else you'd like to share about NextGen or franchising in general before we wrap things up?
I would just like to say the competition ends on October 30th, meaning we're closing the application process on October 30th. So anyone, either if you are an entrepreneur with a great business that could be franchised, if you know someone in your community, a friend, even to someone you solicit as a consumer, we're looking for entrepreneurs between 21 and 35 in business 1 to 5 years. Who have the potential to scale through franchising. And anyone listening to Franchise Focus who's a fan of Franchise Focus, you know what it means to be a franchise. You know better than anyone who has what it takes to be, to be in this field. And please, please, please help reach out to people in your community and bring them in. You can send them right to nextgenfranchising.org. That's the website we built for Next Gen Franchising, and you can get to the application there and just like Alex, he took a shot on it, and his whole entire life has changed as a result.
Absolutely. Alexander, you got anything left that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Perhaps that I'm also having a blog about my experience with any of the listeners interested in some more detailed aspects of my experience. Look at the NextGen Facebook page.
And that's where they can find more information on your blog?
Yep, we just reposted everything. It's the Next Gen Franchising at Facebook, or IFA Next Gen, has tons of information. You can meet the winners, you can see the videos, you can see everything that's going on, get the links for the competition. That's probably your best source of day-to-day updates on what's happening.
Beautiful. Well, here's to hoping we get an influx of applicants in the next few days that they can take advantage of what you guys are offering before things shut down on the 30th. Jen, Alex, thank you guys for joining us on the Franchise Focus. We appreciate you stopping by. It was a lot of fun.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And to all those out there listening to the Franchise Focus, thanks for listening each and every week. Of course, if you have any questions for us or suggestions, find Rick on Twitter at EducatedZ. That's Educated Z-E-E. Track the action on Rick and Jen's LinkedIn pages. As I said, they made a published post on the concept on NextGen in franchising and millennials in franchising. and did a triangulated post with the IFA's franchise opportunities blogs as we're all working together to promote the Next Gen initiative and promote this competition as it nears its final days of being open and active. But, yeah, for everyone here at the Franchise Focus, on behalf of Jen, Alex, and myself, hope everyone has a fantastic week. And we'll be hopping back on here again soon. Thanks a lot, and have a good day, everyone.